أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، اللهم صل. واللعنة الدامة الباقية لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ويقول الذين كفروا لست مرسلا قل كفى بالله شهيدا بيني وبينكم ومن عنده علم الكتاب. صلوات Tonight we have gathered for the majlis of the eve of 19th of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan symbolizes the connection between Ali, the speaking Quran, and the silent Quran. The silent Quran in form of the book descended upon the heart of the Prophet in the month of Ramadan in Laylatul Qadr. And the speaking Quran ascended to the heavens in the month of Ramadan. Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, for us, is our first Imam. He is the first successor of the Prophet of Islam. And therefore, all discussions about Imamat, Vilayat, and the status of the Imam starts with Ali. In these 3 to 4 majalis that we have related to Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, I would like to discuss the issue of ilm al-ghayb, the extraordinary knowledge of the Imam. What does it mean? What does the Quran say about it? What is the relationship between ilm al-ghayb and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how is it related to the angels and the prophets and the imams? And finally, the question about what is the implication of knowing the unseen, to have ilm ghayb, in the day-to-day lives of those who know, who have ilm ghayb. Of course, we'll not be able to cover all these issues in one majlis. So inshallah, I hope you will be with me on these 4 majalis, and we will be discussing different parts of it in different majlis, and so you can have a complete, you know, comprehensive picture about ilm al-ghayb and the status of the imams of Ahlul Bayt. The implications are important because people will ask this question, that if the imams have ilm al-ghayb, then, for example, why did Ali, knowing what is going to happen in the masjid on that 19th of Ramadan, why did he go to the masjid? Or why didn't he, for example, deal with Ibn Muljim even before that? So these are the issues, inshallah, we will be talking about gradually. But tonight, let us start with the issue of what is ilm al-ghayb and what does the Quran say about ilm al-ghayb in relation to Allah and in relation to the other entities, whether angels or Anbiya, Mursaleen, and the Imams. What is ilm al-ghayb? Ilm al-ghayb basically literally means knowledge of the unseen. And to make this, to understand that, it's important to understand the meaning and the source of this knowledge. And this is where I would like to come to this understanding from a more broader perspective. Because when we talk about knowledge, what is knowledge? Knowledge or ilm, this is the first topic discussed in logic and philosophy, especially when it comes to Islamic seminaries. Where this phenomenon of knowledge is discussed, it is known as the theory of knowledge, Nazariyatul Ma'rifa. And when we look at this issue from the Islamic philosophy, knowledge is basically divided into two major parts. And then we will come to understand where does ilmi ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen, fit into the broader perspective. To do that, I would like to, present this in a more simpler form, in a visual form here by PowerPoints. And so we look at ilm and knowledge of the human beings. And this is where, we would like to look at the division. They are actually, when we talk about the division of knowledge in Islamic philosophy, the very first thing which is discussed is the issue of ilmi huduri. Ilmi huduri, which means knowledge by presence. What does it mean? It is a knowledge that does not need any medium, such as the five senses, for us to understand it. It is intuitive. It is part of the innate nature of us. In other words, we can say, for example, the object of knowledge, in this case of ilmi huduri, knowledge by presence, is actually part of the person himself or herself. So they don't need the other, five senses, for example, to perceive it. Let me give an example from the life of the French philosopher Descartes. He went through this process of, understanding what is knowledge, and he started doubting everything, whether it is true or it is just imagination of mine. And then finally he reached to a point where he said, "I think, therefore I am." Well, basically he meant that if I'm doubting everything, it means that I'm thinking about everything. And the fact that I'm thinking means that I exist. So my existence is not a doubtful matter, it is a reality. And this is where he phrases it by saying, "I think, therefore I am." And this knowledge that he exists was intuitive. It was part of his innate nature, not through any medium. In simple words, I can say that the object of knowledge in ilmi huduri is within the person himself, and therefore this knowledge is considered to be the direct knowledge. However, that is not that common as far as the source of knowledge is concerned. This is where we come to the second category of knowledge, or second type of knowledge, and it's called ilmi husuli. Or ilmi iktisabi, acquired knowledge. What does it mean? It means the knowledge which has been acquired through the means of the five senses. When we talk about the five senses, we are talking about the sound, the vision, the smell, the taste from the tongue, and the touch from our hands or other parts of the body. And it is these five senses, when they observe things, this is where it is data gathering process. Then this data or information is sent to the mind or the aql. It is the aql and the intellect which processes this data and information and comes to a conclusion. That conclusion of the intellect is known as ilm and knowledge. But we call it acquired knowledge because it was not direct. We needed the means of the five senses to get that information. And so, as a contrast to ilmi husuli, the first one, when we look at ilmi husuli, we say ilmi husuli, the object of knowledge is outside the person. And he needs to acquire that knowledge through the senses and the process of the intellect and the mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually talks about this because that is the main, method of acquiring knowledge, or even science is based on that, when we talk about the acquired knowledge, ilmi husuli. In Surah number 16, known as Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat number 78, he says, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. It's very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one who took you out of the wombs of your mothers in a state, لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You know, you didn't know anything. You didn't have any knowledge. Of course you have the instinct to cry when you were born. Or you had this instinct of, you know, you feel hungry. And when you are blessed by the bosom of the mother, you start, drinking the milk in that way. So this is part of the instinct. But when we talk about knowledge itself, you know, it's not there yet. But the ayat goes on, where Allah says, I took you out of the wombs of your mothers, لا تعلمون شيئا, while you didn't have any knowledge of anything. وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He says, then I gave you the sam'a, you know, the power of hearing, wal-absar, the eyes, the power of seeing things. He just mentioned these two examples out of the five senses. So basically Allah is saying that I gave you these five senses, wal-af'ida. Af'ida here basically means the mind, the intellect. And so you, in this ayat, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I gave you the senses. And the example He mentions is the issue of the power of hearing and the power of seeing things. And once you get the information through your five senses, then you send it to the mind, which will process it. And this is where the aql comes to a conclusion. And that conclusion is known as ilm. Ilm-e husooli. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hopefully you will be thankful to me for this means of acquiring knowledge that I've given to you. And so this is the main part of knowledge as far as ilme husuli is concerned. So as far as human beings are concerned, in normal, it is ilme husuli or ilme husuli. Ilme husuli, the acquired knowledge, is the most common for all human beings. However, this is where we come to our topic about ilm al-ghayb, that there is another source of knowledge which is not that common, nor do we have that directly, nor can we acquire that through our five senses or, you know, assessment done of the data by our mind and intellect. And that is what is known as ilm al-ghayb. Ilm al-ghayb basically is a God-gifted knowledge. The proper term which we use here is ilme ladunni or ilme mawhabati. This term ilme ladunni comes from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who wanted, you know, Allah told him, you know, there's somebody whom I have given knowledge and wisdom more than you. Remember, he's talking about the knowledge given to that person whom we call Hazrat Khizr by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there he says in Surah Kahf, Surah number 18, ayat 65, وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. This ilme ladunni comes from this ayat. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ. You know, before that Allah says Musa and his companion, they found Khizr, a servant from among our servants. وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ, whom we have granted mercy from ourselves and whom we had taught knowledge, مِنْ لَدُنَّا, from ourselves. So this is, third category is basically ilme ladunni, which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we call ilme ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen. And so when we look at this third category of knowledge, ilme ladunni, which we have simply put here as ilme ghayb to understand our topic here, that the knowledge of the unseen. What does the unseen, the ghayb, mean here? It means something which is hidden from us. For example, future events, or even the events in the past about which we don't have historical or archaeological information, for example. or even when we talk about hidden entity here, inner thoughts of a person is ghaib for us. And this third category, ilm ghaib, can neither be acquired by human senses, nor it is part of our own innate nature. So it is neither ilm husuli or ilm huzuri. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's gift to whomever He chooses. And this is a very important aspect to understand, that ilm ghaib is the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we will see what does the Quran say about it. Salawat, please. When we look at the Quran and this issue of ilm al-ghayb, we see very clearly that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ilm al-ghayb essentially belongs to me only. It is my property exclusively. And it is my prerogative what I do with it. For example, in Surah number 6, ayat number 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. He has the keys to the unknown. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. Nobody knows that except him. In another ayat from Surah An-Naml, Surah number 27, ayat 65, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is very clear. قُلْ. O Muhammad, say, لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْعَرْضِ الْغَيْبِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. O Muhammad, say that there is no one in the heavens or the earth who knows the ghaib, who knows the unseen, illallah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at these two ayat, basically the conclusion that we can derive is that ilm ghaib originally and essentially belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows the ghaib by himself. He doesn't need anybody's help. Now, this is where now we come to the issue of the angels and the prophets and the messengers and the imams. Do they have ilm ghaib? Because this ayat says that nobody knows ghaib except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me now put this in form of a question. And the question is, can anyone have access to Allah's ilm al-ghaib? So we have clearly said that ilm al-ghayb exclusively belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is His property. But the question is, has anyone been given access to that ilm al-ghayb partially, to some extent, more or less? And this is where we have to look at the Quran again. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite grace and wisdom, bestows the ilm al-ghayb upon whomsoever He chooses. It is His choice. It is His property. And it is His right to give that ilm al-ghayb in the proportion that He decides to whomsoever He wants. He gave, for example, ilm al-ghayb to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, but He gave to Hazrat Khizr a little bit more than what he knew. More than what Musa knew. And so look at the ayat of Quran. Surah number 72, Surah Jinn. Ayat number 26 and 27. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins in a very categorical statement where He says, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يُضْحِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ عَحَدًا. That my Lord knows the ghaib. This Quran is talking about it. In the words of the Prophet, my Lord knows the ghaib, alimul ghaib, and He does not expose His ghaib to anyone. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنْ إِرْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ. Let me repeat these words. My Lord knows the ghaib. He does not expose His ghaib to anyone except to one with whom He is pleased from the messengers. And so this we see that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who possesses ilm al-ghayb, but it is His discretion. He does not do the izhar, He does not expose it, does not present it to anyone, illa man irtaba min rasulin, except from the rasuls, those whom He is pleased with it, murtada, irtada. Another ayah, Surah Al-Imran, Surah number 3, ayat 179. We see the same concept. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ, and Allah is not about to inform you about the ghayb. اِطْلَاع. Allah is not going to inform you about the ghayb. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَجْتَبَى مِنْ رُسُولِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, but Allah chooses from His messengers whomsoever He pleases for ghayb. And so here also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I don't, you know, inform anyone about the ghayb. Of course, لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ اجْتَبَى, Allah chooses from His messengers, مِنْ رُسُولِهِ, مَنْ يَشَاءُ, whomever He pleases. So it is in His discretion. He can choose whom should He inform about His ilm al-ghayb. One more ayat, ayat number, this is from Surah Baqarah, ayat 255, part of the ayat which is known as ayat al-kursi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, that Allah knows what is before them and what is behind them. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ, and the human beings, He knows about human beings everything, what is behind, what is before, what is, you know, in the beginning, what is in the end, but they cannot comprehend anything of His knowledge, إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ, except what He pleases. If He decides, you know, to give some information, especially we are talking about ghayb here, then it is His prerogative and His choice. So these are just three ayat as a sample I'm presenting to you. Two ayats earlier, which talks about that ilm ghayb is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then these three ayat where it says that it is Allah's prerogative, if He wants, He can expose, He can inform, and He can let others know about ilm ghayb. It is His irtada, if He chooses, if He likes, you know, it is according to His mashiyat and His will. And so when we look at this issue, what we understand is that when you take all these ayat and similar ayat together, then you get a full picture here. Two conclusions. Number one, Allah is the only original and independent possessor of ilm al-ghayb. Number one. And number two, whosoever from the angels, the prophets, the messengers, the imams, and other virtuous persons that have ilm al-ghayb, they are totally dependent on Allah's discretion and power. There is no shirk there. There is no ghuluv there when you say it in this way, that all others, angels, prophets, messengers, imams, and other awliya and worshipful persons, they can have ilm al-ghayb, but their ilm al-ghayb is totally dependent on Allah's discretion and power. Allama Tabatabai, one of the most prominent mufassir of the Quran of this century, he looks at Surah Jin and the last verses of Surah Jin about this issue of ilm ghayb, and then he concludes. His conclusion is very important for us. This is in volume 20 of Al-Mizan, page 56, where he says, أَنَّ اِخْتِصَاصُهُ تَعَالَى بِإِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عَلَى نَحْوِ الْعَسَالَ بِمَعْنَى الَّذِي أَوْضَحْنَاهُ فهو تعالى يعلم الغيب بذاته. Number one, the exclusive possession of the ilm al-ghayb for Almighty Allah is in the sense of originality, as we have explained it, in the meaning that Almighty Allah knows the ghayb by Himself. وغيره يعلمه بتعليم منه. While others know the ghaib by him informing them about it. So it's very clear that ilm-i ghaib belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and others have that ilm-i ghaib according to the knowledge that he has given to them and informed them about it. And so then he basically concludes by saying, وَبِهِ يَظْحَرُ أَنَّمَا حُكِيَ فِي كَلَامِهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ إِنْكَارِهِمُ الْعِلْمِ بِالْغَيْبِ أُرِيدُ بِهِ نَفْيِ الْأَسَالَى وَالْإِسْتِقْلَالِ دُونَ مَا كَانَ بِوَحْيٍ. And so it becomes clear that whatever has been mentioned in the Quran about others not having ilmi ghaib actually means not having it by themselves and independently. It does not mean to deny that they know ghaib through the revelation and information of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the conclusion for tonight is very clear when you look at this ayat of Quran, that number one, it is absolutely wrong to believe that the angels, the prophets, and the imams know the ghaib independent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ghuluv and this is exaggeration and not acceptable. But it is absolutely correct and in line with the Quranic message to believe that the angels, the prophets, the imams, and the awliya, they know the ghaib as a grace and a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see in the Quran there are many, many examples. The Prophet of Islam, for example. You know, we see the examples where he was told about events which took place in the ancient history of mankind, where the Prophet wasn't there at that time, nor history talks about it. Or for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs him about future events, and we will discuss that inshallah in other majalis. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, informed the Prophet about the inner thoughts of the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. These are all ghaib. And these are from the ayat of Quran. Inshallah, we'll look at those examples inshallah in other majalis. Let us hear a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Since it is the eve of 19th, in the memory of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, let me go to the example of ilm al-ghayb in the person of Ali ibn Abi Talib from the narration quoted by Sheikh Mufid. Remember, Sheikh Mufid is one of the earliest scholars of Shia Islam, Shia Isna Ashariya. He's after Sheikh Saduq. So Sheikh Saduq is the one who was contemporary to the time of Ghaybat al-Sughra. So we are talking with the early days here. He narrates an incident of Jundam bin Abdullah al-Azdi, who had taken part in the Battle of Jamal and Siffin with Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he says that I never had any doubts about fighting against those who fought Ali. Until, he says, when I took part in the third battle, which is known as Nahrawan. So in Jamal, he was okay. In Siffin, he had no doubt. When it came to Nahrawan, the battle that Amir al-Mu'minin had against the Khawarij, this is where Jundam bin Abdullah al-Azdi says, I started having some doubts. And the doubts came, he says, because we are now fighting those who are reciters of the Quran. They are known to be people who are very pious, and we are killing them. And this matter was indeed dreadful for me to even think about it. And then he says, then one day in that battle, in the morning I went for a walk with a vessel of water with me, until I, you know, went far away from our army camp, and I fixed my spear on the ground and fitted my shield on it so that I can shade myself from the sun. And I was sitting there. When I saw Amir al-Mu'minin Ali, you know, he came along. He looked at me and he says, "Oh, brother from Al-Azd tribe, do you have water for purification, for taharat?" And he says, "Yes." I gave him my water vessel. Ali took it and went away in an area nobody could see him. Then he came back after doing the taharat. And he came and sat down in the shade of the spear and in the shield. He says, "Suddenly a horseman appeared coming towards us. And he was asking for, where is Amir al-Mu'mineen?" And so I turned to Amir al-Mu'mineen and I said, "You know, this horseman is looking for you." And Imam said, "You know, give him a sign to come closer." So he came closer. And he says, this horseman said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khawarij have crossed the river. They have come to our side of the camp." Now he is coming from the campsite area. Ali is sitting far away. And Ali says, "No, they have not crossed the river." And this person says, "By Allah, you know, they have crossed the river." Ali said again, "They have not crossed the river." Then after a while, another person came. Abdullah, Jandam bin Abdullah says, you know, this second person comes. He says the same thing. And again, Ali says, "No, the Khawarij have not crossed the river." And at that time, you know, Ali stood up, and I also stood up with him, and we started moving towards the army, you know, camp area. And now Jundam bin Abdullah al-Azadi says to himself, he says, "I said to myself, Alhamdulillah alladhi bassarani hadha ar-rajul wa 'arrafani amruhu." You know, praise be to God who has given me the insight about this man, and he has enabled me to recognize his affair. Because this conversation between two people who came, they said that Khawarij have crossed the river, and him insisting that they have not, this now becomes for me a test to see whether he is imma rajulun kadhabun jari aw ala bayyinatin min rabbihi wa ahdin min nabiyyihi. Now I'll be able to find out whether he is, and I'm using the words the way it has been quoted, na'uzu billah, he says, either he is a bold liar or he has a proof for his authority from his Lord and a covenant from his Prophet. And Jundam bin Abdullah then he says that I made a commitment in my mind with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللهم إني أعطيك أحدا تسألني عنه يوم القيامة. Oh God, I give you a solemn understanding for which you can hold me accountable on the day of judgment. And what is my solemn undertaking? إن أنا وجدت القوم قد عبروا. If I find that the Khawarij have indeed crossed the river, unlike what Ali was saying, then I'll be the first one to fight against him. And I will attack him myself. وَإِنْ كَانُوا لَمْ يَعْبَرُوا. But if the people have not crossed, as Ali was saying, then I will go forth with him and fight alongside him against the Khawarij. So this became a test for him to see about Ali. He continues the narration, and he says that, you know, we returned to the lines of the army, and we found that the standards and the baggage of the Khawarij were, you know, ours were on our side and theirs was on their side. And so Ali was right. Now remember, Jundam bin Abdullah is saying all these things in his own mind, that he made this issue as a test to see whether what Ali is saying is haq or not. You know, does it have a proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a covenant from the Prophet about these issues of futures or the ghaib that he's talking about? At that moment, he says, Jundam bin Abdullah says, Ali took me by the scruff of my neck and pushed me. And Ali said, Ya Akhal Azd, O the brother of the tribe of Azd, Atabayyana laka al-amr? Has the matter become clear to you? Salawat, please. What does it mean here? He didn't mention these things, but Ali is now basically speaking and talking about his hidden thoughts. This is ghaib. Has the matter become clear to you? And this is where Jundam bin Abdullah says, Yes, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this is where Ali says, Now go. It's your duty to go and fight the enemy. This is one real example in the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Battle of Nahrawan when he's fighting against the Khawarij. And here the example is from Jundam bin Abdullah. Shaykh al-Mufid, after quoting this incident, makes a very beautiful comment. He says, in this story, Ali provides information about the ghaib, unseen, gives clear evidence of his knowledge of the inner conscience of this man, and his knowledge of what was in the mind of this person. The evidence in this story is outstanding, which cannot be equaled by evidence of a similar nature in terms of the greatness of the miracles and its clear proof. This story by itself, according to Sheikh Mufid, is the evidence of the ilmi ghaib of Amir al-Mu'mineen, because ilmi ghaib also covers the inner thoughts of individuals, where the sahibi ilmi ghaib is able to understand it. This is where he says, وَفِيهِ إِخْبَارٌ بِالْغَيْبِ وَإِبَانَةٌ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ الزَّمِيرِ You know, knowing what is inside the minds of the people, وَمَعْرِفَةُ مَا فِي النُّفُوسِ What is there in their heart. And this is الْآيَةُ بَاهِرَةٌ فِيهِ It is very obvious. And so we see the ayat of Quran talks about this issue of ilm al-ghayb, saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively possesses ilm al-ghayb, and he has this prerogative. It is his choice that whomever he chooses, he will be able to give the ilm al-ghayb to that individual. The difference is ilm al-ghayb of Allah is dhati, it is his. What is the ilm al-ghayb of the angels and the anbiya and the mursaleen and the imams and the virtuous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he chooses to give them, their ilm al-ghayb is dependent on the will and discretion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight we have gathered to remember that imam who had access to ilm al-ghayb. And even in this incident, we see that he has the knowledge, but he doesn't use it. And we'll talk, inshallah, more about it. Very briefly, I will say here that ilm al-ghayb is not used by any Nabi or Rasul or Imam or a virtuous person for their personal matters. They only use that for what I may call the official affairs of the deen, in order to prove their credibility. Amir al-Mu'mineen was the Imam of Justice. He had divided even the times of the month of Ramadan among his children. And so that night was the night for Umm Kulsoom. Umm Kulsoom presented her father the meal. You know, a daughter would always would like to do more to the father when the father, you know, visits. Barumba Kulthum knew that my father, you know, would like to live a very simple life because he's Amirul Mu'mineen. It's not that he doesn't have the ability to, you know, eat or live a more better life. And so she presented a loaf of bread, a bowl of milk and salt. You know, Ali is Amirul Mu'mineen. He is the leader of the Muslim world at that time. But look at the simplicity of how he lived his life. When Amirul Mu'mineen looked at it, he says, "Oh, my dear daughter, have you seen your father eating two items with the bread? You have milk and salt. Take one away." And this is where, you know, she wanted to take the salt away. Ali says, "No, take the milk away." Because he says that Ali is the ruler of the Muslim world, wanted to live a life that even the most poor person in his domain would be able to relate to him. And this is where, when he says that, "Leave the salt and take the milk away," he says, "I don't want to meet my Lord with a full belly." Ali knew that this is the last night for me. And therefore he says, "I don't want to meet my Lord with a full belly." Umm Kulthum, hearing all this, she must have been very worried about her father. Especially when she saw that night the father would spend the night in prayers and nafila prayers. And then repeatedly he will go from the room to the courtyard, look at the sky and utter the words, "Hiya, hiya, wallahi layla." This is the night, this is the night. You know, as if saying that now is the moment where Rasulullah had told me that I'll be killed. And just before Fajr, when Amirul Mu'mineen got ready to go to the masjid, Umm Kulthum, looking and hearing the words of Amirul Mu'mineen during the night, suggested that, "Why don't you rest today and let someone else lead the prayers?" But Ali said, "No, I have to go." And this is where we see that it's not only the daughter who had that sense that Ali is going to be killed. When he was trying to leave the house, there were some ducks domesticated by them. And the ducks basically surrounded Ali as if preventing him from going out. And this is where the merciful ruler of the Muslim world says, "Umm Kulthum, release them. Let them go free, because you will soon be busy with grief for me." Another indication of what we call ghaib. Hazrat Aaron Hussain ke baba ghar ko chhod ke masjid jaate hain. Wahan pahunchne ke baad, nawafil padhne ke baad, جب اذان کا وقت ہوتا ہے خود علی نے اذان دی ہے اس دن لوگ آہستہ آہستہ مسجد میں جمع ہوئے امیر المومنین نے جو سو رہے تھے مسجد میں ان کو بھی جگایا انکلوڈنگ اس میں ابن ملجم بھی تھا وملعون ابن ملجم ایک تلوار لے کے آیا ہوا تھا کہ جو زہر میں ڈوبی ہوئی تھی اور زہر بھی ایسا تھا کہ جس کا کوئی علاج نہیں تھا نماز جب شروع ہوتی ہے تو وہ ملعون جو ہے بالکل پہلے صف میں اپنی جگہ تلاش کرتا ہے امیر المومنین نے تکبیر کہا سوروں کو پڑھا رکوع کی حالت میں جاتے ہیں سبحان ربی العظیم وبحمدہ کھڑے ہونے کے بعد سجدے میں جاتے ہیں سبحان ربی الاعلى وبحمده اے علی کے چاہنے والے انسان جب سجدے سے سر اٹھاتا ہے تو ایک لحاظ سے تیزی کے ساتھ اٹھتا ہے
यहां अली का सर जो है तेजी के साथ बढ़ रहा था ऊपर की तरफ, दूसरी तरफ इब्ने मुल्जिम ने इस तरह से तलवार से वार किया कि जब तलवार आपके सर से लगी है तो अमीरुल मोमिनीन के जबीन पर आके वार लगा, उसी जगह पे जहां अमर इब्ने वुद ने खंदक में अली पर हमला किया था। अज़ादारान हुसैन जैसे ही तलवार का वार जो है अली के जबीन पे पड़ा है, अली की ज़बान पे वो मशहूर जुमला जारी हो जाता है, फुस्तू व रब्बिल काबा, खुदाए काबा की कसम के हम कामयाब हो गए। अली वो बंदा था कि जो मरना बरहक था, लेकिन बिस्तर पर मैं मरना नहीं चाहते थे, शहादत की राह से जाना चाह रहे थे, लिहाजा कहते हैं कि हम कामयाब हो गए। फौरन आसमान से आवाज आती है, तहद्दमत वल्लाही अरकान अलहुदा अला लकद कुतला अली अलमुर्तजा, के हिदायत के रुकन जो है वो पिलर्स गिर चुके हैं, अली मुर्तजा को कत्ल कर दिया गया। अज़ादारान हुसैन लोग बड़ी तादाद में दौड़ के आने लगे, हसन और हुसैन भी मस्जिद में पहुंचे, बाबा की जो हालत को देखा है, एक पट्टी बांधते हैं इमाम के पेशानी पर, और थोड़ी देर में लोगों ने इब्ने मुल्जिम को भी गिरफ्तार कर लिया था गलियों में कूफा के, और उसको ले के आते हैं। अजीब गरीब मंजर तारीख पेश करती है कि जब इब्ने मुल्जिम को मस्जिद के अंदर ले आया है और अली की जब नज़र उस मलून पे जाती है, फौरन हसन से कहते हैं, बेटा उसके चेहरे पर देखो, उसकी आँख में खौफ के आसार है, उसके साथ नरमी से पेश आना। अजब नहीं कि हसन ने कहा हो, बाबा आप उसकी सिफारिश कर रहे हैं, लेकिन मौला यही कहना चाहते थे, बेटा तुम रहमतुल आलमीन के नवाज से हो, तुम्हें अपने उस मेयार को बरकरार रखना है। अज़ादारान हुसैन लोग एक लिहाफ को लेके आते हैं, अमीरुल मोमिनीन को उसमें रखा गया, और घर वालों ने और जवानों ने और ख़ास असहाब अली को उठाए हुए घर की तरफ ले चलते हैं। लेकिन जब करीब पहुँचे और बेटियों के रोने की आवाज़ बाहर आती है, अपने असहाब से कहते हैं कि दूर चले जाओ। अजब नहीं कि अली कूफे वालों से ये कहना चाह रहे हैं, देखो मुझसे ये भी गवारा नहीं कि मेरी बेटियों की रोने की आवाज तुम तक पहुंचे, देखो एक वक्त आएगा ये मेरी बेटियां कैदी बन के कूफे में आएंगी, जरा उन पर मेरे हक के खातिर मेहरबानी के साथ पेश आना। यहाँ जब ये आवाज बुलंद हुई है अला लकद कुतला अली अलमुर्तजा, तो ये आवाज सुनकर ज़ैनब कुलसूम और अहले हरम अली बड़े परेशान हो गए थे, ये इंतजार में थे कब बाबा को लाया जाए। जब बाबा को घर लाया गया है और ज़ैनब की नजर जब बाबा के पेशानी पे पड़ती है, वाह अलिया वाह मोहम्मदा वाह फातिमा की आवाज बुलंद हो जाती है। अला लानतुल्लाहि अलल कौम ज़ालिमीन सयअलमु अल्लज़ीन ज़लमु अय्यमुन क़ल्बिन यनक़लिबून। खुदावंदा इस क़लील बाज को कबूल फरमा, हमारे गुनाहों को बख्श दे, हमारी तौफीकात में इजाफा फरमा। खुदावंदा हमें तौफीक दे कि इमामुल मुत्तकीन की पैरवी करते हुए लोगों के साथ मेहरबानी के साथ पेश आ सकें। खुदावंदा जिन हालात से इंसानी बिरादरी गुज़र रही है, उस अली की मज़लूमियत का वास्ता खुदावंदा कोरोना वायरस की मुसीबत से सबको नजात दे, खुसूसन शियान अली जहाँ हैं उनको अपने हिफ्ज़ अमान में रख।
خداوندہ تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.